Alan Hardy with Thunderbird. That was chosen by Delina White, who's joining us in the studio, along with her daughters, Lavender and Sage. Delina White is a traditional Anishinaabe beadwork artist. She learned the art form from her grandmother, and she's been beading ever since. She's gotten many grants to study Native apparel through history, and last year she was awarded a Native Arts and Cultures Foundation Fellowship to create 20 full sets of women's outfits. Starting in October, Delina's latest work will go on tour around Minnesota. Delina is in studio with us, along with her daughters Lavender Hunt and Sage Davis, who are also beaters. Welcome and thank you for being here this morning.
Miigwech.
Miigwech. I would love to hear first, Delina, from you about what the Anishinaabe word for beads is and what that means, because I think English doesn't quite cover it.
Yeah, in Ojibwe, it's pronounced
Manidumanes?
Oh, yeah, Manidumanes. And that means little spirit beads.
It captures so much more than just hearing the word beads, I think.
It does. There's so much that goes into beadwork and the thoughts and the good feelings and, you know, the spirits of the ancestors are coming through to us and communicating with us through our beads. And I always say that as long as our beadwork lives, so will the stories of our people.
I wonder if we can talk a little bit about the changes, Delina, that you have studied in history in terms of the materials in traditional beadwork.
Sure. I can give a brief history of beads and the type of materials that we use in our apparel. Europeans first arrived in the Great Lakes area in 1535. So what this project, the Great Lakes Native Skirts Project, is about the skirts that the women wear from the tribes of the Great Lakes area. And in particular, I chose that because the Anishinaabe people are part of the woodland area of the Great Lakes. And because the tribes along the Great Lakes area share a common environment, indigenous materials, we've intermarried and we've traded and socialized amongst one another, that we're all pretty similar with some of our designs and beadwork and apparel. It gets cold here and it can get extremely cold and it can get extremely hot. So our weather varies dramatically. And that's what's similar with other tribes too in this area. So to continue on with that, in the 1600s, the fur trade began. After 1650, Native women began using imported broadcloth and ribbon. By 1675, trade beads arrived. By the 1880s, the use of raw materials diminished dramatically due to the scarcity of large animals. By 1850, the seed beads arrived and were used for bandolier bags by the Anishinaabe in Minnesota and soon became wearable art by other tribes.
Your daughters, Lavender and Sage, are here with us too today. I wonder if you can talk more about this project that you're working on. Lavender, how are you and Sage involved in this?
I'm doing a lot of the sewing on the skirts. We've worked together to collaborate colors and designs. I'm inspired by Mother Earth and the spirits that are around us, the thunder beings. Our medicines, such as the blueberries, the wild rice, the maple leaves. I'm a chef, so I work a lot with food. So I'm very inspired by those foods that we put into our body, about taking care of our spirits, our minds, our souls. So when we come together and we talk about the materials and the designs that we want to create, I put that into action with my sewing machine, my beads, my sequins, and a lot of the techniques that I use, I've learned either from experience or from other artists. And I always acknowledge that artist, where it came from. Oh, my dad taught me how to do this. Oh, Benita showed me how to do this. Dana sat through this and showed me a little easier technique to use. So it's always a prayer thought process that goes into that, and acknowledging them, because we learn from one another. And when we share things, that keeps our traditions and our gifts plentiful.
Dancing is important to the work that you do. Why is it important that you think about the dancing aspect of it, and that the skirts, that it's wearable?
I am really grateful and blessed when I see my work out there, because I know the amazing feeling that I feel when I dance and to see my children dance. So when I see my work on other people, that kinetic art is really a good feeling, and I feel like that gives me life. And so when I think about the way I want the skirt to flow and the way that I want it to spin, and thinking about somebody with their gift of dancing, everyone has their own gift and style. So to think about the skirts in action, it's really exciting. And so I think of all those aspects while I'm creating.
That's Lavender Hunt. She's here with her sister, Sage Davis, and their mom, Delina White. Sage, what about you? You're also a dancer. What kind of designs do you like to wear as you dance? Or tell us more about your take on it.
I'm doing a lot of the beadwork for the show, and I guess I wanted to talk a little bit about that too. And I remember when I was growing up, I'd watch my mom and my sister doing beadwork, and I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing nothing? So, and my mom would tell me, she would encourage me to watch her, and she said, you need to learn how to do beadwork so that you'll never be broke. So that was exciting. I was like, okay. And for me, the beads, it symbolizes that I'm connected to my ancestors and to my family and to the future generations. I'm teaching my son how to bead too, and he's excited to be learning. And when I dance, I think about the people in my life who have passed, and I think that I'm dancing for them, and I imagine them next to me dancing with me and watching me. And my dad, he was not too much into powwows, but he always brought me to the powwows whenever he could, and he was so proud of me to watch me dance. And so a lot of the times I just kind of have to close my eyes and think about my dad and my grandma who've passed, and imagine that they're with me at that moment. So I try to make them happy.
What inspires the beadwork that you do? Lavender talked about, as a chef, what kind of informs what she does, and is there something that kind of guides you?
I guess I just start by drawing a pattern, and then I never know what colors I want to do until the moment comes, and I think I'm inspired a lot just by nature, and I like to go for runs and take pictures of the leaves and the different flowers that are out there, and I really enjoy doing the leaves. That's my favorite part, and I like to use a lot of different colors with that so that it looks real. And recently I was excited because I seen a leaf that had a yellow vein in it, and I was like, I'm gonna use yellow. So just a lot of being in nature, and like my family said, I think that we inspire each other. So sometimes when I see, you know, my sister or my mom's work, I'm like, oh, well maybe you should have did it like this. And then they're like, no. But for the most part. So then I'm like, well, I'll do it my way then next time. And then we just kind of go back and forth about the way that things should be done and why we do the things that we do. And I really am appreciating this opportunity to work with my sister and my mother, because they teach me so much about beading and its connection to life and how we make decisions in our everyday lives.
Delina, is there a difference between the beadwork that you do and your daughter's?
Yes, there is. I think that Lavender's beadwork far surpasses mine.
And Lavender, what do you think of that?
I think I'm a lot faster.
Okay.
My work progresses a lot more quickly than my mother. But of course, you know, I learned from her, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to try it faster this way. And it works easier when you use this kind of thread. And so it's a lot of trial and error. But of course, you know, my mother is the master who has given me those skills.
Mm-hmm. And Sage takes a lot of attention with her beadwork as well. She works with a lot of different colors, and she puts them together in such a unique way that it's just only something that Sage can imagine.
Do you see any ties to the generation before you, to your mother or grandmother, and what your daughters do?
Well, we're trying to continue a legacy from our ancestors and our grandmothers. And I remember the work that my grandmother did, and her beadwork was just so beautiful. And compared to our beadwork, I think it's a lot different. We continue to work with the floral patterns and the woodland style, we call it, because since we're people of the lakes and the woods, we include our environment in that. Like Lavender was talking about her foods that she puts in there. So she's always excited when she sees historical beadwork that has plums in them, and she looks at them and she's like, "Mom, look, I think this is a squash." And then we include plums and we do strawberries and blueberries and just all this stuff from the environment. Like Sage was talking about, you know, being out in the woods and being inspired by the natural environment. So that part is similar, but what's different is our individual styles. And you can tell, I mean, you can look at it and you can really differentiate. And when you come to know people's beadwork, it's just pretty easy to identify who made what.
Well, tell us more about this Native Arts and Cultures Foundation Fellowship. You'll be creating 20 full sets of women's outfits?
Yep, we've decided to do 15.
Okay.
I tried my best to figure out how many that we could do. Well, the beadwork takes a lot more work than the skirts takes. So along with the skirts, we're making beaded accessories. So we started out doing the beadwork, and after we finished one beadwork, then we would start up another beadwork. So now that we're coming near to the fashion show time, we're starting to put those pieces together, and it's really exciting. Kind of like when we're finishing up now, we're taking a look at how are we going to finish it? What type of trim are we going to use? Well, now it looks like it needs a red ribbon or something. So I know, you know, that I'm kind of scurrying around looking for those last pieces of materials that I need to complete the work.
And where will it go? Where will the show go?
I need to say, too, that I've gotten several grants since then. I received a Minnesota State Arts Board grant for a folk and traditional artists, and they're the ones who are supplying the funding for the majority of the grant project. And in addition to that, the Native Arts and Culture Foundation, I received a fellowship, so they're putting in the 25% match that I needed for the Minnesota State Arts Board grant. And then I received an Arrowhead grant to do a website. So all of that is coming together. And that's really, really awesome, because it helps with the promotion and, you know, letting people know what it is that we're doing.
Right. I had a chance to look at the website. It's great.
Oh, thank you.
Now, that's a lot of work already, the beadwork, but applying for and getting and working on all those grants and making this happen, that's a lot of work. And
Right. And so the end result is going to be this collection of skirts that tell the story about the tribes in this area. And then, I can say that those skirts are not replicas of historical skirts, but that those historical skirts have inspired us to create our own styles of skirts. So it's inspirational. It's not copycat. So when you come to the show, you're going to see our version of how those skirts have played a role in our minds and our creativity.
And that starts in October?
Yep, it starts October 2nd at the Edge Gallery in Big Fork. That's going to be our first one.
Great.
There's five venues, and they're every weekend throughout October.
You asked for Mel Hunt Prairie Flower this song?
Yes, yes. Mel Hunt is my father, and he's going to be playing at the Tweed Museum during our reception. He's a musician, and he has created a CD of some original songs, and I thought it would be nice to have a little example of what you can hear at the Tweed Museum fashion show.
Great. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Miigwech.
This interview has been a part of Area Voices, our series telling the arts, cultural, and historical stories of northern Minnesota. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.